Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And as I said before the break, now one area of violent crime where the numbers have not gone down. The NYPD responds to an average of 700 domestic abuse calls every day, or one every 2 minutes. The Manhattan DA prosecuted around 6,500 such cases last year. That's the most in the office's recorded history. So joining me now is Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance, who opened the Manhattan Family Justice Center this week, a resource center for domestic abuse victims. Mr. DA, welcome back to WNYC. Hi.
Good morning, Brian. I'm glad to be back.
And I threw those numbers out just now, but it's hard to underestimate how stubborn the domestic abuse stats are when we compare them with other violent crime in the city. Can you lay that out a little more?
Absolutely. You're correct in stating that violent crime generally is at historic lows in New York City. We had 40 homicides in Manhattan last year. The year I took office in 2010, we had 70. When I was an assistant DA in the 80s, we had 500 in Manhattan. But it demonstrates the incredible progress that law enforcement working with the communities has made in tackling and beating down violent crime. That's not the case, however, as you indicate, with domestic violence. The domestic violence numbers have, in fact, risen over the past few years in terms of our office's prosecutions. And, Brian, I think the question is, number one, what do people in law enforcement and this office particularly do when crime is at historic lows? And in our office, we took on gang and gun violence in my first 4 years using technology, the intelligence we gathered through our crime strategies unit, and I think we're very successful. We are now turning our attention to domestic violence because domestic violence remains a crime that we are, in my opinion, still not doing a good enough job on, both in enforcement and prevention. And I think we need to be imaginative, think out of the box. And the opening of the Family Justice Center is one first step to help us give more complete and more effective help to those women, principally, who are coming out of abusive relationships.
Now, listeners, I realize this is a sensitive topic to take calls on the air. So if you think that calling in would be dangerous for you, then please do not pick up the phone to tell your story on the radio. You should contact law enforcement or someone else who can help you if you're in a threatening situation, and we'll talk about how. But if you have a story that you want to share or an experience that you think would shed light on this and help some other people, we do want to hear from you. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, particularly with respect to what law enforcement could do, didn't do in your situation, and what you think the city can do for other potential domestic abuse victims, preferably before anything serious takes place. So if you're a counselor or work with victims of domestic abuse, you can also call in. Or if you have any questions or observations to share with the Manhattan DA, Cy Vance, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And DA Vance, when is domestic abuse a crime that you can prosecute? What are the standards for bringing charges?
The standards, if one is in an intimate partner relationship, and one commits a variety of offenses, it could be assaultive, it could be stealing, that case can be classified as a crime of domestic violence. And so it covers a broad range of offenses, with the defining link being domestic and intimate partner relationship. I'd love to describe with you, Brian, how this new Family Justice Center works, if that would be useful to you during this interview.
Absolutely. And I saw that the New York Times described it as looking like an upscale pediatrician's office. Do you accept that description?
Yes, actually, we've been working on this for 4 years. It shows what persistence is required to get some of these projects up. But it is a lovely office. There's no other way to describe it. Typically, a victim of domestic violence, Brian, might say it's a woman who's getting out of an abusive relationship and she goes to the precinct. The precinct, number one, is typically a chaotic situation with people walking around in handcuffs and shifts changing. Our Family Justice Center is really the polar opposite. When a woman is trying to get out of an abusive relationship or report an offense, this is the time that she needs the most help. So imagine yourself, imagine a woman coming into what is now our Family Justice Center. She may have two or three children in tow. Her questions are really life and death questions. Where am I going to sleep tonight, tomorrow, next week? Who's going to take care of my kids? How can I keep custody of my kids? When she comes into our Family Justice Center, she's not only able to speak with prosecutors and investigators and law enforcement about the criminal side of the case, but in the same location, she is able to receive comprehensive city services that might provide her, for example, with emergency housing, emergency access to a cell phone, emergency financial aid in case part of the problem was the abusive partner withholding finance. And so there, psychiatric care, help for the kids. So when you walk into the Family Justice Center, you are in crisis, and what you're looking for is not someone telling you, now you need to go across Manhattan to another location to get help with your housing, and then after that you need to go to another location on another day to get help with child care for your kids. What you really want to do is to provide comprehensive services, both criminal and civil, to victims when they need it most, and that's what the Family Justice Center is going to do.
Let me take a phone call for you. Here's Judy in Brooklyn. Judy, you're on WNYC with Manhattan DA Cy Vance. Hi.
Hi, I'm a survivor of domestic violence, and around 23 years ago when I went to the police to get some help, they kind of laughed at me and said it wasn't so serious and wouldn't follow up. And I'm familiar with the Family Justice Center in Brooklyn, and it's so important how police are educated, what the policies are, and the Family Justice Centers are a really supportive, nice environment.
Well, Judy,
for a horrible situation.
Can I just say, Brian, Judy, thank you for sharing your story. And I think it's safe to say, as you state, that we have learned so much as a community about domestic violence in those last 20 years. Now everyone involved in the criminal justice system, I believe, treats these as potentially very serious cases. And it just took a long time and a lot of energy, and unfortunately a lot of survivors like yourself went through a lot of pain before law enforcement put its full attention to solving this problem.
You know, and Judy, thank you very much for sharing your experience. I know someone who was on a grand jury in Brooklyn last year, D.A. Vance, and she was surprised in this rare glimpse for her into the criminal justice system and how many of the cases involved domestic abuse and how many of those included charges of multiple violations of an order of protection, not just once, but three or four or more times. Do you see that
in the cases that your office prosecutes? Exactly that same pattern. These are very complicated cases. Obviously, they start with an intimate relationship, which is its own complication to break away from. And then you've got children, which is a further complication. So the most dangerous point in time for a woman getting out of abusive relationship is when she's getting out of that abusive relationship. And it's often very hard for her to stay the course and have the support to stay out of the relationship. And that's what we're really trying to achieve, is not only get the report, but give her the wherewithal and the services she needs to stay the course. What we have done, Brian, which I think is also responsive to your point, I advocated for very strongly over the last 4 years a law which makes it a felony if one commits a repeat domestic violence offense, the previous one having been a misdemeanor, within a five-year period. What we saw was that with overcrowded dockets, individuals were being charged with misdemeanor assaults on their domestic partner, sometimes many multiples of times, and they would come back to court, and the highest penalty the court could impose was that for an A misdemeanor, the same level crime as evading a subway fare. So what we found is what we asked for and what the legislature ultimately gave us was, if I commit a misdemeanor domestic assault on my partner and I do it again within 5 years, that second time the prosecutor is able to proceed as a felony. This gives the judges 5 years of probation to modify behavior, longer orders of protection, and much more leverage to change behavior. And people, I believe, will understand that you can't commit domestic violence without having a consequence, either in the first instance and certainly in the second instance.
Charlie in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello, Charlie. Or is it Charles?
Oh,
am I saying?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I said your name wrong. Sorry, I see there's no I there. Charles, hi.
Morning, Brian. I was telling the screener that I'm calling because just yesterday, I had to call the police for my neighbor, who I felt was being a victim of domestic abuse. It was the first time for me to ever make such a call and actually to witness such a thing. It was very shocking and horrifying, especially because I know she has three children in their apartment.
And what happened after you called the police?
After I called the police, the police came and about eight of them came here, and it was kind of overwhelming. And they came very quickly, and I was very glad for that. And they knocked on my door and asked me if I called. I did feel, though, that with so many of them in the hallway, you know, that I just knew there would be no way the woman would really talk to them, you know, especially with her husband or partner home.
Did she?
I heard them in the hallway. They didn't stay long like I expected. I heard her telling them that everything was fine, there was nothing. And I heard them trying to, like, saying to her, "You're crying, you look like you're not okay. We're here to help you." And I heard her kind of just turning them away, you know, which I thought was just sad. But my only observation would be perhaps, you know, just some female officers and not so much overwhelming presence of police.
Charles, thank you for telling this story, and thank you for being a good neighbor to your neighbor. And D.A. Vance, Charles' call raises so many issues. What's the best kind of police response, in your opinion, to a call like that?
Well, I think the police, obviously, if they receive one of the 700 per day calls that you allude to earlier, they need to respond and they need to assess and investigate immediately. And it's as you say, it's an important thing that neighbors who may see someone else being abused, that they also feel an obligation to call. These situations are dangerous not just for the witnesses and the victim, but also sometimes for responding officers. What I would say...
I read that domestic abuse calls are the most dangerous to cops. Is that a stat you're familiar with?
Well, it is a stat I'm familiar with, and there was as you may remember, several years ago, there was a brave Brooklyn police officer who responded to a domestic dispute call in Brooklyn and was killed responding to that call. And that's happened multiple times, and you're absolutely right. These are very dangerous situations for police to walk into.
Fred in the Bronx, you're on WNYC with Manhattan DA Cy Vance. Hello. Fred, are you there?
I'm right here. I work as in family court as a domestic violence attorney, and you know, I hear a lot about the statistics that Mr. Vance is putting out about 80% of women are the victims. And my question,
or 80% of the victims are women, is that what you mean to say?
Right. Yes, that's what I mean to say. And my what about the men who are victims of domestic violence?
Fred, thank you. D.A. Vance, is it a different situation? Obviously, there's a perpetrator and a victim, no matter which gender is which. But how much does it change the story or the role of the Family Justice Center or anything else?
Brian, that's a very important question, and I thank Fred for raising it. Number one, we do, of course, have victims of domestic violence who are men, both in a traditional domestic partnership and also in LGBT situations. We have same-sex disputes, which are investigated just as seriously and just as intensely. And while it is a minority, the minority of domestic violent cases involve men. It is the investigation should proceed with the same set of criteria and investigation.
From a DA standpoint, before you were Manhattan DA, I was on a jury, and I talked about this at the time after the case, and it was a very low-level domestic abuse case, but it was a domestic abuse case. And though it pained the jury, we concluded that the prosecutor did not present evidence to convict.
Yep.
Painful because, you know, I'll admit I walked in with a bias to think a domestic abuse charge is probably true.
Right.
And yet it was so painful to vote not guilty and yet to feel that that was the right thing to do. And it revealed to me anew how difficult it is to prove in court a case of domestic abuse. How does that look to you as Manhattan DA?
I think you're absolutely right. And it, I think it speaks to the power of our criminal justice system. We have to make decisions as prosecutors. Do we believe the defendant committed a crime, and do we believe we can prove it? Answering both those questions, yes, it is very likely that we will go into court. But you as a juror may conclude that you do not believe that we met all the elements of an offense by proof beyond a reasonable doubt and decide, therefore, to acquit. We don't bring cases to trial thinking that we are going to win every one. We bring cases to trial that we believe in, recognizing that the jury system is there to ultimately make the decision about whether a conviction should follow.
Before you go, very briefly, we talked earlier in the show about an entirely other topic, the Bratton crackdown on subway panhandler and peddlers with more arrests. Are you prosecuting more cases like that?
We prosecute a number of what I would call quality of life misdemeanors. The way we have tried to handle these cases as appropriately as we can is we have, if an individual is, for example, doesn't have a criminal record or is a youth, we put these in a special part, which we call the quality of life part, where the cases are handled from beginning to end by a single judge who can help evaluate what the right outcome should be. There are also cases, Brian, that come in by way of arrest that we dismiss. If we don't think a case should be prosecuted for a number of reasons, we simply don't go forward. But if we do go forward, particularly with quality of life offenses, they now have a separate part which I think deals with the cases and the underlying condition or issue with the defendant that brought them into court better, more comprehensively, and more intelligently.
And are you getting good cases? Can you tell?
Are we getting good cases that, of
or bad cases? Are there?
I think we get both.
Harassment arrests taking place as opposed to actual criminal violations.
Well, harassment is itself a crime if certain criteria are met, and
I mean by the police.
If we believe a police officer is arresting without foundation or because of a prior bad personal relationship with someone he wants to charge, we dismiss it. And I've prosecuted police officers while I've been DA who we felt have lied about the circumstances mm-hmm. leading up to the arrest.
Right. Nothing yet in these last few months, I guess. And with the push to decriminalize and legalize marijuana around the country, are you prosecuting small marijuana possession cases any less aggressively than has been done in the past?
Well, I called for several years ago, along with the governor, for the decriminalization of small amounts of marijuana in possession. There's two kinds of small possession cases, one in your pocket and one out of your pocket. One is a crime out of your pocket and one isn't in your pocket. That's a distinction without a difference. And so I think both should be treated as violations, not one as a criminal offense. And I want to take my – and the reason why I want to prosecute less of those cases is because I want to focus our resources on more serious violent crime. And that's really where I want to put my effort.
So just tell people like Charles from the Bronx who called in or anyone else, what should they do if they feel that they themselves are victims of domestic violence presently and they're scared, or if they think a neighbor is?
Number one, they should, if they are in Manhattan, they should come down to the Family Justice Center at 80 Center Street, right near the Criminal Court Building. Number two, they can also call the domestic violence hotline for the DA's office, which is 212-335-4308. But even better, if they can come in person, and then we will be able to sit quietly, calmly, deliberatively, and hopefully get them the support and help they need and the protection they need if it's a criminal situation.
Give that number again.
212-335-4308.
Manhattan DA Cy Vance, among other things, announcing the opening this week of the Manhattan Family Justice Center. Thank you very much.
Nice talking with you, Brian.